here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. We will have Lee Zeldin, the almost governor of New York, on the program in our third hour to discuss Alvin Bragg and other things going on, outrageous things that have been going on with the Democrats. I want to remind you about our podcast location. Go to marklevinshow.com, click on Audio Rewind at the top, and you can pick your favorite podcast platform. Or go to your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. Search Mark Levin Show and subscribe for free. All that information is on marklevinshow.com as well as our multiple social sites. And one other thing, and I can't remember what it was. I'll get to it. I'll figure it out. We're now going back and forth with the Islamo-Nazi regime in Iran. They have shot some missiles at us, killed a contractor, injured some of our soldiers. We immediately reacted with jet fighters. Now some of their surrogates, same surrogates that attack Israel, have fired more missiles, 10 missiles, at our base. The Israelis at the same time have been hitting Iranian bases in Syria. And a guy I know writes me and says, well, we shouldn't be there. That explains that. Oh, okay. Let's just give the whole world to the enemy and see what happens. Let's just back out of supporting any of our allies and see what happens. In the meantime, China's expanding its allies, expanding its bases. The idiocy of this ideology is beyond me. But it's irrelevant, too. It really doesn't matter. Now, we'll talk more about this later, but the first thing I really want to jump into here. A parental bill of rights. How does a parental bill of rights become controversial, America? The Democrats call it racist, call it book banning. Yeah, some books need to be banned. You know, books with explicit sexual photographs, books with explicit discussion about sexuality and gender changing and transitioning. Those books shouldn't see a shelf in a public school system, period. And for the Democrats, this is an attack on free speech. And for the Democrats, this is book burning. They don't tell you what kind of books. Or books that claim that white people are racists. Those books need to be on the shelves too. Or books that push critical race theory. A Marxist ideology. Those books need to be on the shelves too. Think about that. What does this bill do, effectively? It responds to your concerns. Responds to what's been going on in this country, and I want to salute the Republicans in the House that voted for it. It passed by like 3 votes. You have the right to know what's being taught in your schools and to see reading material. This is the Parents' Bill of Rights. You have the right to be heard. You have the right to see school budget and spending. You have the right to protect your child's privacy. And you have the right to be updated on any violent activity at a school. Wow, that's so controversial. So controversial. I want you to think about that. This is common sense stuff. There's nothing radical, nothing ideological, nothing political about any of this. So what's the beef? The beef is, as I've been telling you now for some time, that Marxism attacks the family structure. It attacks the nuclear family. It wants the state to raise your kids. And our buddy Mike Gonzalez points this out well at Heritage Socialism in the Family. And he says, Karl Marx in the Communist Manifesto of 1848 called for the abolition of the family, as we've discussed. The family was already absent among the proletariat. Marx and his co-author, Frederick Engels, wrote, and among the bourgeois, the wealthy, the family was a mere money relation. Marx said that communism would ensure that children would be educated by the state and not by their parents. Communists, he wrote in the manifesto, would, quote, rescue education from the influence of the ruling class, unquote. The making of the, quote, new man, unquote, was the priority, and the family was an obstacle and obsolete. As soon as they won their first victory in Russia in 1917, the communists now in power put into practice these policies. Alexander Kalanate, the Soviet's first people's commissar for welfare, put it succinctly when she wrote, the old family, narrow and petty, where the parents quarrel and are only interested in their own offspring, is not capable of educating the new person. Soviet schools even encourage students to snitch on their parents. You've seen this in Mao's China and Xi's China and so forth. Engels particularly was at war with what he called the patriarchal family because he believed wrongly it had introduced the concept of individual private property, which Marxists, of course, hate. Democrats hate. Not a single Democrat in the House of Representatives voted for the Parents' Bill of Rights. Not one. You can see the beliefs, the ideology in full flower today over whether parents have a right to have a say over their children's education. But it didn't stop with Marx and Engels. Hungarian communists managed to establish a Hungarian Soviet for a short time in 1919. And they quickly realized that the way to completely change society was to destroy the most important civil society institution, the family. The family. The fight against the family, sometimes using sex, sometimes in other ways, continues for Marxists today. Herbert Marcuse, who we've talked about, among others. And Marcuse didn't stop there. He emigrated to the United States in the 1930s to escape Hitler. And while here, he wrote an influential bestseller in 1959, Eros and Civilization. It's the founding document of the sexual revolution of the 1960s. He was very clear why the revolution was important, to destroy the family. Here's what he said. The body in its entirety would become a thing to be enjoyed, an instrument of pleasure. This change in the value and scope in libidinal relationships would lead to a disintegration of the institutions in which the private interpersonal relations have been organized. In other words, kill monogamy, kill the family, kill the patriarchal system, as they would call it, the nuclear family. And communists indeed tell us again and again they're at war with the family because they know it's a handy way to destroy society. Black Lives Matter. Eric Mann is influential partly because he recruited Patrice Collier. Remember her? One of the founders of BLM. in his Labor Community Strategy Center in L.A. at the young age of 17, and he trained her there for 10 years on how to be a Marxist organizer. So when she says of herself and Alicia Garza that they trained Marxists, that they are trained Marxists, and that they trained Marxists, that's what she means. And it should hardly surprise us that among the 13 guiding principles of BLM includes the disruption of the nuclear family. These ideas are now being taught to our children throughout the United States through BLM curriculum that goes out to school districts. And the Democrat Party's all in. The Democrat Party is the funnel for these ideologies. Let me repeat. For those of you who live in districts that are marginally red or purple or marginally blue, where you have these Democrats tell you that they're moderates, not one Democrat voted for the Parents' Bill of Rights today. Not one. And they went on these attacks about how it was racist. And Hakeem Jeffries said something that I thought was quite appalling. I want you to listen to this clip. Cut 7, Mr. Producer. 7, go.
They want to ban a book called Mouse. It's about the horrors of the Holocaust. An egregious crime against humanity that we should never, ever forget. 6 million Jews exterminated. They want to ban Mouse, a book about the Holocaust. What's so offensive in that book? Let me read a passage. They took us from our papers, our clothes, and our hair. We were cold, and we were afraid. Extreme MAGA Republicans don't want the children of America to learn about the Holocaust.
That's not the position of the Republicans. It's not a single Republican in the House of Representatives who supports that view. Not one. And yet he cherry picks out there in the countryside somewhere and brings that up. Let me tell you what Hakeem Jeffries won't do, according to Mark Paletta, February 7, 2023, Washington Examiner. He won't come clean on his support for a notorious anti-Semite. You heard me right. The Democrat leader in the House. The Democrat leader in the House. He attacked the Republican Party for removing Representative Ilhan Omar from the House Foreign Affairs Committee for her blatantly anti-Semitic public comments. But before attacking Republicans on the matter, Jeffries needs to own up to his own past and support for a notorious anti-Semite, and why he lied about his past support when he was a newly elected member of Congress. And I dare Media Matters and Mediocrite to repeat what I'm saying. As a college senior serving on the Black Student Union Executive Committee at Binghamton University, Jeffrey strongly defended a notorious anti-Semite, his uncle, Professor Leonard Jeffries, who spews hatred, racism, and bigotry. After Hakeem Jeffries was elected to Congress, he was dishonest about his previous support for his uncle's anti-Semitic comments, nor does it appear he's ever repudiated his support of his uncle's views. Don't you think, Hakeem, this should be in the public libraries too? Your record? In an infamous July 1991 speech, his uncle claimed there was a conspiracy planned and plotted and programmed out of Hollywood where people called Greenberg and Weisberg, I'm quoting him, put together a system of destruction for black people. Professor Jeffries also claimed that, quote, rich Jews financed the slave trade. Professor Jeffries also reportedly said in a classroom that Jews are dogs. According to one report, Professor Jeffries teaches his controversial hypotheses that African Americans are warm, humanistic sun people, and that European Americans are cold, materialistic ice people. People of African descent, Jeffrey states, have core spiritual values that people of European descent lack. In an August 1991 article by Kenneth Stern reviewing Professor Jeffrey's record, Stern wrote, Dr. Jeffries preaches Jew hatred like a religion. And noted that Jeffrey's July 1991 speech demonstrated the centrality of anti-Semitism to his teachings. And shortly after this racist and anti-Semitic speech in 1991, which attracted national attention and eventually led the City College of New York to fire him, Binghamton University's Black Student Union invited Professor Jeffries to speak at the university in February 1992. And in response to the uproar that followed, BSU's board, including Hakeem Jeffries, held a press conference on campus to defend its invitation and rebut charges that Jeffries is anti-Semitic. Hakeem Jeffries stated, quote, "We have no intention of canceling a presentation that contains factual information proven through scholarly documents and texts." The Black Student Union also lauded Professor Jeffries as a renowned historian, well-versed intellectual. And his speech at Binghamton again placed the blame for the degeneration of blacks in the movies on anti-black Jewish movie moguls and reiterated his claim that rich Jews played a significant role in the African slave trade. And it goes on and on and on. Hakeem, you've lied over and over again about your beliefs, about your relationship with your uncle, about your defense of his comments. How come that's not in the public library? I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I want to tell you about something to help you protect your retirement. People are worried about the economy because 2022 didn't go very well. For one thing, there's the crazy spending and debt created by Biden and the Democrats. That huge debt affects your savings, especially pensions, IRAs, and 401ks. It's one reason Americans get gold IRAs, to protect their hard-earned savings. Well, here's a company I trust to help you with a gold IRA, Augusta Precious Metals. What makes Augusta Precious Metals different? They'll tell you not to buy a gold IRA if it's not right for you. If you've saved $100,000 or more, say for your IRA or your 401k, sign up for a one-on-one web conference. To schedule, call 877-4-GOLD-IRA. That's 877-4-GOLD-IRA, 877-4-GOLD-IRA. If you have a financial professional, obviously talk to them before making an investment decision. Visit AugustaPreciousMetals.com and check out the risk disclosures as well. Let me try it this way. How many of you want your children or grandchildren having access to pornographic material in their school library? Drawings, pictures, descriptions. How many of you want in your school library, your public school library, descriptions of sex acts? Fifth grader might read the book, look at the book. How many of you want that? How many of you want your children exposed to genitalia transitioning in your school library? Well, the Democrats have absolutely no problem with this. The teachers' unions have absolutely no problem with this. The library associations have absolutely no problem with this. But we parents and grandparents have a big problem with this. I want to tell you about something to help you protect your retirement. People are worried about the economy because 2022 didn't go very well. For one thing, there's the crazy spending and debt created by Biden and the Democrats. That huge debt affects your savings, especially pensions, IRAs, and 401ks. It's one reason Americans get gold IRAs, to protect their hard-earned savings. Well, here's a company I trust to help you with a gold IRA, Augusta Precious Metals. What makes Augusta Precious Metals different? They'll tell you not to buy a gold IRA if it's not right for you. If you've saved $100,000 or more, say for your IRA or your 401k, sign up for a one-on-one web conference. To schedule, call 877-4-GOLD-IRA. That's 877-4-GOLD-IRA, 877-4-GOLD-IRA. If you have a financial professional, obviously talk to them before making an investment decision. Visit AugustaPreciousMetals.com and check out the risk disclosures as well.
The Mark Levin Show, live and national,
at 877-381-3811.
Let's try this again. How many of you taxpayers out there, parents, grandparents, and otherwise, think you have a right to know what's being taught in schools and to see the reading material? You pay for all this. That's in the Parents' Bill of Rights. Every Democrat voted against your right. How many parents and grandparents and taxpayers all think you have a right to be heard at a school board meeting? The Democrats voted against that, every one of them. How many of you think you have a right to see the school budget and spending information that obviously relates to your taxes that you're paying every year? The Democrats voted against it. Every single Democrat in the House said no. How about the right to protect your children's privacy so they're not asked about their sexuality or their sexual preference or what's going on at home and all the rest? Every Democrat voted against privacy. How about the right to be updated on any violent activity at school? Remember what happened in Loudoun County, Virginia? Every Democrat voted against the right to be updated on any violent activity at school. This is basic stuff that you should have a right as a citizen to know, let alone people who fund these institutions. The Democrats are Marxists, and they said, no, you don't have a right to know any of this. You don't have a right to know any of this about your children, about your school system, about what's going on in the classrooms, about what kind of texts they have. And as a matter of fact, if you have the most perverse, disgusting books in the kids' libraries, and if you ask to remove them, well, now you're for censorship. This is also partly the battle over language. See, the Democrats are changing the argument. Oh, this is about censorship. And the Republicans are the new book burners. And only that, they're racist because they won't allow certain books, you know, critical race theory to be in there. In other words, they want to indoctrinate your children. It's all there in American Marxism, why it was the number one book. The number one book when it came out and for the entire year. It lays it all out. It lays it all out. That's exactly what's going on. Well, we've got a lot to do. We only have 3 hours a show. We've got our man Lee Zeldin in the third hour talk about Bragg in Manhattan, what the hell's going on there at the 8 p.m. hour. And so I want to continue here. We have a huge problem, we conservatives and Republicans. And you independents and Democrats are free to listen in because you have a bigger problem. But we have a problem, too. We have people in our movement and within our party who do not comprehend history, who claim to be for America first, who are not. We have people in our party who do not believe in the national security of this country. They do not believe we should be the number one superpower on the face of the earth. It's really quite shocking. And they believe nothing is worth fighting for. Nothing. Not the economic well-being of the country. Not the security of the country. Not democracy, not liberty. Nothing. Every war is Afghanistan. Every war is a choice between supporting, focusing on our own domestic policies or ostracizing ourselves when it comes to national security. Meanwhile, there are countries filling the void. And they're doing it aggressively and they're doing it fast. They're in our hemisphere. They've got bases they never had before. They have deep water bases they never had before, including in places they used to be allied with us. They're controlling more and more natural resources from all over the world. We now have Saudi Arabia, who's in an alliance with communist China, with fascistic Russia, with the Islamo-Nazis in Tehran, and they announced today they want to reopen the relationships with Syria. And Iran is providing Russia with drones and China with oil. This is the alliance. Algeria, I bet you didn't know this, wants to make more war with Morocco. Morocco is an ally of the West. China is threatening India, Japan, South Korea, Australia, the Philippines, obviously Taiwan. It has devoured Hong Kong, and it's threatening directly the United States of America. I know, it's our fault. We're being threatened because it's our fault. I don't know what the hell it's going to take to wake up. I really don't. Something horrific? And I not only blame the pacifist mouthpieces, neo-pseudo-conservatives in the and the repubics, not only them, as well as people in radio and TV and columnists and all the rest. Joe Biden and his party, they're hollowing out this nation. They're hollowing out our military. They're hollowing out our immigration system. They're hollowing out our law enforcement. They've turned the federal law enforcement into a weapon. A weapon. They're monitoring our actions. There's got to be a zillion databases on me. I don't know. They can certainly hear us in Washington. But on you, too. I told you all to file FOIA requests for any files the FBI has that may name you. Any files. How do you file FOIA requests? Just go online. It's very simple to do. It can be one or two pages. Just follow the rules. File a FOIA request and tell them you want any information, any files, any texts, any emails, anything in any form on you or your family members, and list them all. You'll be shocked. Many of you will be shocked. We are in a Cold War. At the same time, we are in a soft tyranny. And that is the problem. Therein lies the problem. We have a soft tyranny at home and a Cold War with our overseas enemies. There's simply no question about either. Kathleen Brush over at the American Thinker, which is a great site that was founded by my buddy Thomas Lipson. She says, Vladimir Putin's approval rating is 82%. Joe Biden's is 42%. Xi Jinping is anyone's guess. But the Chinese near unanimously trust their government. More than half of the Russians trust their government. Less than a third of Americans trust theirs. These statistics are not random, but speak to America's imminent loss in this, the second Cold War. The International Criminal Court has issued an arrest warrant for Putin for war crimes in Ukraine, and Russians are as proud as ever to be Russian. Meanwhile, American pride is sinking. Has given Ukraine $76.9 billion to fight the second iteration of Russia's evil empire, and a war increasingly seen as the opening proxy war in Cold War number two. Why aren't Americans rallying around the flag, pride, approval, support for the respective flags in China and Russia, but not the same in America? It's not an accident. All governments influence the memories they want their people and foreigners to have of them. It's called political memory. Look at how the government of Russia and China and the United States are leveraging political memory, sheds lights on why Russians and Chinese love their governments and rulers, and Americans are souring on America and Biden. And this simultaneous occurrence is not an accident. Russia and China are preparing to win the second round of the Cold War, and America is handing them the opportunity to do it, handing it to them. The goal of Russia's political memory is to quote, give students and honorary citizens a simple and consistent narrative, a powerful nation they can take pride in. School begins by singing the national anthem and raising the Russian flag. Taking a knee or disparaging the Russian flag is unthinkable. Putin to be certain of unified support for the actions taken, restore Ukraine to its rightful place, and prepare for Cold War II launched a new patriotic history. In 2022, Putin described the purpose. Quote, a deep understanding of our history to draw correct conclusions from the past. Russia's political memory constantly conditions Russians to fear existential threats, particularly from the West. It's why they revere their militaries and have airways have been prepared to endure heavy casualties in war. The military prevents the Russian state from being subjugated. Political memory also instills an unshakable pride in Russia in being Russian, something cemented through glorifying military victors, or at least victory in World War II. Most important holiday in Russia is Victory Day, which honors the end of World War II, glossed over or censored because they do not instill pride or Russia's losses in the Crimea War, 1853 to 56, the Russo-Japanese War, 1904 to 1905, Vladimir Lenin bailing on World War II while hoping to seal victory for the Germans, Stalin's crimes against humanity in the 1939 Hitler-Stalin non-aggression pacts. None of those are taught. Russia's political memory, which is more concerned with future security than past moral failings, also has no room for millions starving in government-made famines in the 20th century, including the Ukrainian Holodomor, the enslavement of a third of the people in the Russian Empire until 1861, the 19th and 20th century Jewish pogroms and Muslim cleansings, the 21st century's inhumanity against Muslim Russian Chechens, on and on and on. China began preparing for round two of the end of Cold War I. This is when it began its patriotic re-education campaign, quote unquote. Cementing patriotism in China, as in Russia, is key to preparing for and achieving victory in Cold War II. China and Russia's approaches to political memory are contrary to the U.S. government's. Instead, America appears to be preparing to wave a white flag, or maybe a rainbow-colored one. Pride in America has been sinking. And this ties to the government's design for America's political memory. The political memory could emphasize things such as America being the first colony to defeat European empire, its World War II victory over fascism. Or it could tell how, in just over 150 years, America became an economic powerhouse on the back of capitalism and then sustained this with an education system designed to unify Americans and foster innovation. Instead, the center of history in 4,500 schools is to depict American slavery, the exaggerated interpretations of personal memories, untempered by facts. Instead of a history of patriotism and achievement, the American government is supporting a history of trauma, including systemic racism and inequality. President Trump sanctioned patriotic education to counter American history centered on slavery, an initiative that Biden promptly revoked because it was inconsistent with his strategy for political memory. In other words, what I just said, what's happening in the United States, soft tyranny, indoctrination of children and people to hate their country, turn race against race, economic classes, unleash the government against certain politicians, go after one party by another, while the Russians and the Chinese teach patriotism about their countries and their history, we teach people to hate America. And you can't win a second Cold War or a third Hot War when the nation is unraveling right before your eyes. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I want to tell you about something to help you protect your retirement. People are worried about the economy because 2022 didn't go very well. For one thing, there's the crazy spending and debt created by Biden and the Democrats. That huge debt affects your savings, especially pensions, IRAs, and 401ks. It's one reason Americans get gold IRAs, to protect their hard-earned savings. Well, here's a company I trust to help you with a gold IRA, Augusta Precious Metals. What makes Augusta Precious Metals different? They'll tell you not to buy a gold IRA if it's not right for you. If you've saved $100,000 or more, say for your IRA or your 401k, sign up for a one-on-one web conference. To schedule, call 877-4-GOLD-IRA. That's 877-4-GOLD-IRA, 877-4-GOLD-IRA. If you have a financial professional, obviously talk to them before making an investment decision. Visit AugustaPreciousMetals.com and check out the risk disclosures as well. What do you do when you enter into a contract and the other party breaches it willy-nilly? What do you do? Look at Stormy Daniels with the non-disclosure agreement. She enters into a contract, her eyes are wide open, she has legal counsel, she signs it, she violates. Do you think people should be held accountable if they violate a lawfully executed contract, Mr. Producer? You think they should be legally punished when they violate a lawfully executed contract? When they knowingly breach it? As a lawyer, I can tell you they should be. And they can be, and in most cases they are. Contract is a contract. A contract represents character and honor when you enter into a contract. If you have no character and you have no honor, then you breach it. And that should be exposed. Just as it has been with Stormy Daniels. Sure, she's not the only porno star or actress who's breached contracts. All kinds of people do such a thing. Mr. Producer, if you were to learn that there's parties out there that enter into contracts and don't honor them, would you ever enter into a contract with such a person like Stormy Daniels? Absolutely not. So this is one of the things that's not raised when it comes to Stormy Daniels. She entered into an agreement. She accepted the terms of the agreement in exchange for a remuneration. A.K.A. money. So that is a huge issue. For her and for everybody, right? When you enter into a contract, many of you have. I'll be right back.
This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. We're going to have a killer Life, Liberty, and Levin on Sunday. If you can't watch live, I hope you'll set your DVR now, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're having Gordon Chang, and we're having Leo Terrell. And, of course, we're going to cover China and the rest of the world, and we're going to cover all this stuff involving President Trump and these investigations. So I hope you'll join us. And I will promise you a killer opening statement, too. And, you know what I heard? America, Mr. Producer? You know what I heard starting April 16th? The Constipated News Network, this has been in the trades, Variety and so forth. Does anybody remember who Anderson Cooper is? Remember him? He gets drunk on New Year's Eve and makes a fool out of himself. Remember the great interview he did with Stormy Daniels? That was his big get. Well, CNN is dying. And so they've decided to prop up Anderson Cooper and give him a show on Sunday. He's not doing 60 Minutes anymore. So they're going to give him a show at 8 p.m. up against me. Did you hear that, Mr. Producer? That's like the Bataan Death March for him, don't you think? And we will enjoy this. You know, it's like radio. They have thrown everything possible up against me. And they always lose. Some of the people now are friends of mine. Some are on Fox. Some were on Fox. Some were big radio names. Some were young. Some were women. Some were old. And they threw them up against me, and all of them got defeated. All 3 hours. And same thing happens today. Same thing happens today. The toughest hours in radio. And yet across the street, I won't mention the station. I actually like that station. In New York. It's a very well-run station. And they have my buddy Hannity over there, too. But the person they put up again has never wins. He doesn't win in any of the overall numbers, any of the demographics that they track, nothing. And I understand he's a very good guy, by the way. I don't put him down in the least. And I just want to thank you folks. Some people don't, you know, there are great program managers out there, and then there's the rest. And thankfully, most of the affiliates here know what they're doing, but some don't. It's embarrassing. I'm not going to name them. It's just the way it is. And most of you live where they do know what they're doing. But you can always listen to the podcast if you need to. Go to marklevinshow.com, marklevinshow.com. Click on the audio rewind at the top and pick your favorite podcast platform. Pick your favorite podcast platform. Or go to your favorite podcast platform. You already have Apple or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, etc., and search Mark Levin Show and subscribe for free. That's Mark Levin Show, and you can subscribe for free, of course. We'd love to have you anyway. We have great, of course, on the Patreon, on the great Sirius XM satellite. Our partners there, they're fantastic. So there's many, many ways to listen to this program. And, of course, direct streaming, right, Mr. Producer? Online. Just pick your favorite affiliate. They all stream. And there we are. So it's all for your convenience. The Mark Levin Show app, the iHeart app. We've had a wonderful relationship with iHeart, too, and all the other companies. Just fantastic, because they know what they're doing. And they know how to schedule programs and so forth. So they're very, very good at it. And then there's others, of course. Jasmine Crockett. Who is Jasmine Crockett? No, not related. As far as we know, I could be wrong, to Davy Crockett. Jasmine Crockett is a Democrat representative from Texas. And Jasmine was on MSLSD today. And remember what I said. You can say whatever you want about Caucasians. Whatever you want. Nothing's too vile, vicious, or racist. Whatever you want. And you can say it on MSLSD. And Jasmine does that. Listen to this. Cut 10. Go.
We know that these MAGA Republicans have a problem with the truth. In fact, that's why we are coddling these January 6th insurrectionists. You know, I'm just a freshman. So I watched January
6th. Actually, you're more than a freshman. You're an idiot. Tell me, have you been to the jail where they are? Coddling, she says. She's a head case. And there she is on MSLSD. Tell me, has any host on MSLSD spoken to any of these people? Spoken to any of their lawyers? Been to any of these facilities? Done any of the top? Those three things? No, they've done none of them. None of them. But they know, don't worry. Coddling. Go ahead.
Are unlike what so many of my colleagues experienced. And the fact that, you know, they want to go.
Some of your colleagues experienced. What does that mean? Many of your colleagues have been to jail? For what? What are you talking about? Is it a requirement now to be an idiot, to be a Democrat? I think it is. Not the rank and file, although I don't get that either. I'm talking about those who are in public office. Go ahead.
These people, some of them which were attempting murder.
These people. Ooh. What do you mean by these people? What do you mean by these people? Some of them were attempting murder. Well, thousands of them were not. And I don't know who was attempting murder. Was somebody convicted of attempted murder? Doesn't matter. It's MSNBC. Let it fly. Go ahead.
About how comfortable they are.
Shut up, you idiot. You don't know a damn thing. You even preface, I'm just a freshman, but you got that right. But they're freshmen and they're freshmen. And then there's morons like you. And she could care less what's going on in those jails. She has no idea what's taking place. We've had Julie Kelly on this program. She's been there. She's spoken to them. I've spoken to some of these people and some of their lawyers. Oh, you did? Oh, put him on another list. That's right. Put me on another list. Can you imagine Al Sharpton being on a network at all like MSNBC? Can you imagine this, Mr. Producer? Shouldn't Al Sharpton be in an orange jumpsuit? You know what's funny? In the old days when Al was starting out, when he left the music business and decided to be a civil rights leader and weighed about 473 pounds. Remember that Al Sharpton? And he had a jumpsuit and the long hair. And he looked like, what should I say? A backup singer, I thought, kind of. But it turns out Al was much more vile and violent. And an orange jumpsuit he probably would have worn back then. And Al doesn't take any responsibility for anything he's done. He and his lawyers threaten anybody who dares to remind the world. And he talks about Trump as losing control. He's hearing footsteps getting closer to him. I want to talk to our friend Lee Zeldin about this in hour three. What he thinks about Al Sharpton's statements. So Al Sharpton is now brought in by MSLSD to comment on the law. Do you not find this unbelievable? Listen to this. Cut two, go.
I think that beyond all of the bluster, and it is certainly the most vicious, anti-Semitic, and racist language you could use. And
well, what's he talking about, Mr. Badu? What's he saying is racist and anti-Semitic? I'm just curious. Who's he talking about there, himself? I mean, if you ask most Jews in Brooklyn about Al Sharpton, they'll say he's anti-Semitic. Particularly his history, anyway. So I guess he is an expert in some ways on this, but now he's commenting on this. Go ahead.
Former president is using it. I think beneath it all, from what I knew of Donald Trump when I knew him, I think that he is very nervous. I think that we're looking at a man.
Let's see. We've had five grand juries, one in Manhattan, two in Atlanta, two in Washington, D.C., all headed by Democrats, all in Democrat cities that voted overwhelmingly against Trump. I think he's nervous. Oh, do you, genius? But Al's not nervous. He's got nothing to worry about. Nothing's going to happen to Big Al. Besides, he thinks an orange jumpsuit is very fashionable. Go ahead.
That is becoming unhinged because he does not know what lies ahead.
You know, Trump is not unhinged. The people attacking him are unhinged and obsessed. Go ahead.
You look at the fact that people are forgetting Alvin Bragg is the same DA that would not go forward with the case. Two of his assistants resigned. One wrote a book that is now going forward, which sends every signal that maybe they saw something or have figured out something or have some witness that they did not
have. You sound like a moron, but then again, you always have. What are you talking about? By the way, the schmuck that wrote the book, I forget his name. What is his name? Pastorini or whatever his name is. Let me tell you something, tough guy. Let me tell you something, former federal prosecutor, and who for nothing decided to join Alvin and the chipmunks in the DA's office there. Alvin, and he said, hey, you do it for free. And then he's a grifter. He goes off and writes a book. Let me tell you something, you jerk former federal prosecutor. You violated every imaginable ethical rule in that damn book of yours. Talking about an ongoing matter. Talking about evidence. Demonstrating to the whole world that you shouldn't be anywhere near a courthouse unless you're a defendant. And you ought to have your license pulled. How the hell do they go after Rudy Giuliani, but this guy's in the clear? Will somebody explain that to me?
Yes, it's a Democrat city. I just explained it.
Go ahead.
When he decided not to go forward.
Shut up, you idiot. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Did you know Pure Talk saves the average family over $900 a year when you switch from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile? That's right, save $900 a year on your wireless bill and still enjoy ultra-fast 5G service. You can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $30 a month. And Pure Talk is so sure you're going to love their service, they're backing it up with a 100% money-back guarantee. So instead of paying a fortune to woke corporations like Verizon and AT&T or T-Mobile every month, cut your bill in half with Pure Talk, my cell phone company, and then start enjoying the perks like a U.S. customer service team that will make your switch easy, supporting a company that is veteran-owned and shares your values and that has you covered with a money-back guarantee. Go to puretalk.com and enter promo code LEVINPODCAST, that's L-E-V-I-N podcast, to save 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code L-E-V-I-N podcast, Levin podcast. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just a reminder, go to MarkLevinShow.com, MarkLevinShow.com. Click on the audio rewind at the top and pick your favorite podcast platform, and you can lock us in forever. Forever and ever. Go to MarkLevinShow.com, click on audio rewind at the top, and pick your favorite podcast platform. We're going to have Lee Zeldin here in the third hour. We're going to talk about Al Sharpton's comments. We're going to talk about Alvin Bragg. We're going to talk about what's taking place, because it's pretty outrageous. And the man came with an eyelash of being the governor of New York. He would have been a great governor. In fact, he would have been a fantastic governor. In many ways, he reminds me of DeSantis. You know, he wouldn't have put senior citizens in nursing homes, Mr. Producer. You understand what I'm saying? I think he would have been prepared for a pandemic, not having to beg the federal government for ventilator machines, which they later didn't need. So many boneheaded decisions. No offense, I'm just making the point. And nothing personal. I'm just saying it's just basic common sense. And then, of course, having to rely on Donald Trump for hospital beds. These are the jobs of a governor. And DeSantis knew what he was doing, and Kemp knew what he was doing, and other mostly Republican governors knew what they were doing. Democrat governors were basically begging for help, whining, throwing senior citizens in with people who had COVID, that sort of stuff. And so we'll discuss that with would have been a great governor, Lee Zeldin, in hour three of the program. Let me ask you folks a question. Are you aware that Chinese authorities now raided an office of a United States company and has five of their employees? It's holding five of their employees. Are you aware of this? Wall Street Journal. Chinese authority raided office of U.S. investigations firm Minsk Group. More and more brazen. Tonight, the Iranians are firing missiles at us. Their surrogates are firing missiles at us. The communist Chinese have stormed an American company's office, took five Chinese nationals employed by that American company in the Beijing office, detained them without notice. They don't care. They thumb their noses at us. This wet kiss alliance between Russia and China. I think we have a big problem here, ladies and gentlemen. Minsk has more than 450 investigators, lists 18 offices around the world. The company operates a Hong Kong office as well. The corporate investigations business is tolerated by Chinese authorities, but has been targeted for crackdowns during leader Xi Jinping's decade in office. Yeah, because he's a crook. He's corrupt. In addition to tightly controlling media and the internet, Chinese authorities increasingly limit access to business data, including by labeling it private information or national property. You know, we got all these idiot companies doing business in China. If you want to do business and you insist on doing it outside the United States, which you really shouldn't, but the Democrats make it so difficult with all their ESG crap, all their taxes, all their regulations, and they trash our companies left and right, then do it in India or somewhere. What are you doing it in communist China for? What, you've lost your minds? Ever happened to patriotic companies in this country? There's a relative handful, and most of them are defense contractors that come under attack from the Putinoids and their hemorrhoids. Peter Humphrey, a British private investor, and his wife's business partner, U.S. citizen, were convicted in 2014 of illegally purchasing private information about Chinese citizens. They spent around 2 years in prison. Wow. Well, you know what? If Alvin Bragg was the prosecutor over there, they would have spent 100 years in prison. Why? Because it's only truly vile, violent criminals that Bragg is worried about. I don't mean imprisoning. I mean letting out on the streets. In the front door, out the back door. I'll be right back.
Did you know Pure Talk saves the average family over $900 a year when you switch from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile? That's right. Save $900 a year on your wireless bill and still enjoy ultra-fast 5G service. You can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $30 a month. And Pure Talk is so sure you're going to love their service, they're backing it up with a 100% money-back guarantee. So instead of paying a fortune to woke corporations like Verizon, and AT&T or T-Mobile every month, cut your bill in half with Pure Talk, my cell phone company, and then start enjoying the perks like a U.S. customer service team that will make your switch easy, supporting a company that is veteran-owned and shares your values and that has you covered with a money-back guarantee. Go to puretalk.com and enter promo code Levin Podcast. That's L-E-V-I-N Podcast to save 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code L-E-V-I-N Podcast, Levin Podcast. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the nation's town hall meeting, and you can join in at 877-381-3811.
All right, I made an executive decision. So we're going to have Lee Zeldin hour three, and also questions for Mark.
about your communities, about the world. Let's keep it clean. I'm not your proctologist. I'm not your gynecologist. Let's keep it clean, shall we, Mr. Producer? I think we should. And I think we definitely will. 877-381-3811. I think the lines are already full. But the trick is, as soon as you hear somebody hang up, you dial immediately or right before you think they're going to hang up. You know, when I was a kid, there was a radio host on what was WCAU in Philadelphia. It's now WPHT. And he's a dear friend, his wife, his whole family, Bill Corsair. And Bill Corsair had one of the great shows in radio, and I used to listen to them all. Bob Grant. And, well, you can name them all. In Philadelphia and in New York. Some of the great national ones. I mean, Larry King, before he went political, did a great radio show. And Rush Limbaugh, early on, I would listen to him. But there were many, many greats. And what's interesting is I was 14, 15 years old. I used to call into Bob Grant's program on WABC and WOR, and when he was thrown off those stations, he was on a FM station, a very good FM station, WWDB at the time, in Philadelphia, and he was a dear, dear friend. But Bill Corsair, who is a dear friend to this day, and he went to the Radio Hall of Fame event in 2018 when I received the was voted into the Hall of Fame, and I want to thank everybody who did that. And he had a show called The Little Rascals, you know, like the TV show, but it wasn't really like it. And it was on from about midnight to 5 in the morning. I love this show. It was a really We the People show, and people were really characters of themselves. And he spoke to them with respect. He spoke to them, and it was a lot of fun. So I called up, and I gave myself a name. Did I ever tell you what it was, Mr. Producer? The Matzo Ball Kid. Why? I don't know. And he couldn't have been nicer, but I used to take the phone, you know, it was on a very long wire, take it all the way upstairs because everybody was sleeping. And it was literally a dial phone back then. Like I say, this is 50 years ago. And I would dial and then wait on the last number or letter to dial. Sometimes you'd get clicked off before you did, not by him, but by, you know, AT&T. But sometimes, just in the nick of time, I would get in there. And I would spend hours doing this. It was so enjoyable. So I want to salute my buddy Bill Corsair. So why am I telling you all this? Because next hour, it's questions for Mark. And so we have a full board now. But get ready. Once I take a question from somebody, that's how you get in on these things as quickly as you possibly can. Anyway, I just point that out because it's a little nostalgic, don't you? I called into Bob Grant once. I mean, several times, but once as a young guy. And Reagan was running in 76 in the Republican primaries, and he was running against, you know, Ford, among others. And Bob was very conservative on some issues and actually fairly liberal on others, like abortion and so forth. But a brilliant, brilliant man. And he was a sidekick for a while for Joe Pyne, who was a great, great broadcaster. Anyway, so Bob Grant, I called once, and I can remember I was kind of young, and I called, I think he was on WOR at the time, because WABC was so stupid they got rid of him. And I think I called in to WOR, and I told him that I thought a great ticket would be Reagan Jack Kemp at the time.
Well, that's a very, very good suggestion. The problem is, Mark, how old are you, by the way?
You know, that sort of thing.
Well, you're very advanced for your age.
He said, but that ticket can't win. It's too conservative. He liked Reagan, by the way. But that ticket can't win. It's too conservative. And as I sit here and go down memory lane with you, one of the guys I remember the most is my buddy Curtis Sliwa. Curtis Sliwa. Been in New York forever. A real character. And smart as hell. You don't have to have gone to Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Stanford to be smart, you know. In fact, most people, they leave those places, they're much dumber. And Curtis is street smart. I've always said about Curtis, he talks in rhymes. He's kind of the white Jesse Jackson in that respect. But Curtis is a fantastic radio host, and Curtis is a fantastic and loyal friend. Just true. I'm very blessed. I really, really am. So we will do, in hour three, questions for Mark. Who knows? Where am I, Mr. Producer? I am, do I have one here? I did Blaze, correct? All right, we're good. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Did you know Pure Talk saves the average family over $900 a year when you switch from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile? That's right. Save $900 a year on your wireless bill and still enjoy ultra-fast 5G service. You can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $30 a month. And Pure Talk is so sure you're going to love their service, they're backing it up with a 100% money-back guarantee. So instead of paying a fortune to woke corporations like Verizon, and AT&T or T-Mobile every month, cut your bill in half with Pure Talk, my cell phone company, and then start enjoying the perks like a U.S. customer service team that will make your switch easy, supporting a company that is veteran-owned and shares your values and that has you covered with a money-back guarantee. Go to puretalk.com and enter promo code Levin Podcast. That's L-E-V-I-N Podcast to save 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code L-E-V-I-N Podcast, Levin Podcast. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to remind you, we have a killer show on Sunday. Set your DVRs if you can't see it live, but set it anyway, just in case. That way it records it, and if you want to go back and watch it, you can. In addition to my opening statement, we're going to have Leo Terrell and Gordon Chang. And I promise you it's going to be worth every minute of your time this Sunday. We work hard on it. We try to make it, you know, the kind of a program that's different than most, as we do here on radio as well. Now, there was a General Glenn Vahark, NORAD commander, and he was at a hearing today, and this is actually quite interesting. It tells you a lot of what you probably already know, but it's still pathetic, and he's asked by a senator. Cut 13, go.
General Vahark, with regard to these letters, I have a number of... I have received quite a bit of information from talking to you about this balloon incident, and you mentioned it in your statement. So let me just go through some.
This
quick
is the Chinese spy balloon that floated all across America, took all the data down about our nuclear sites. Remember that one? Go ahead.
I have received quite a bit of information from talking to you about this balloon incident, and you mentioned it in your statement. So let me just go through some quick questions so we can understand who knew what about the Chinese balloon. You first learned about this on January 28 of this year. Is that correct?
Senator, I learned about it on January 27th. We first detected it by radar, my sensors, on January 28th in the vicinity of St. Matthews Island, Alaska.
Okay, and that's United States territory, right?
That's correct, sir.
And you notified your chain of command on that day, January 28th, right?
I had a conversation on the evening of the 27th with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff about my plan to intercept and identify and make an assessment, which we did on the 28th of January.
And you sent that notification to Secretary of Defense Austin, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, via classified email, correct?
I sent it to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and to Secretary Austin's military assistant. I'm assuming that the military assistant passed it to the secretary.
Okay. And you still are not certain at what point President Biden or Secretary Austin were made aware of the balloon. Is that right?
I do not know when the president was made aware.
Fine. And when you confirmed the balloon's existence on January 28, you tasked NORTHCOM, your command, with preparing options to counter the balloon. That's correct also.
I tasked my NORAD team to develop options. And, Senator, what I'd point out is I have options every single day to defend our homeland. In this case, the balloon did not meet the requirement or the authority for me to engage it because it was not demonstrating hostile intent or committing a hostile act. Hostile intent would be maneuvering to an offensive advantage on a platform, an airplane, or shooting missiles or weapons would be hostile act.
I don't know this gentleman. He could be a war hero for all I know, but this sure sounds like Keystone Cops to me. It wasn't committing a hostile act. It was in our airspace. It was gathering intelligence on our nuclear sites. That's a hostile act by any definition, is it not? We still don't know when Joe Biden was made aware of this. Why not? What's the problem? What's the cover-up? I don't understand. Still don't understand. Nobody woke up Joe? Remember, Joe never sleeps. Joe wakes up early in the morning and goes to bed late at night. He's a night owl, according to Jen Psaki. Although, that's not correct. He gets up around 9, 9.30, 10 o'clock in the morning to do his tasks. It's unbelievable. But, you know, we're leaders now, and this demonstrates we're leaders now. Because they brought the propagandists from the Pentagon over to the White House. Because the spokes idiot for the idiot wasn't doing a good enough job of lying for the idiot. But American leadership is back on the world stage. You can see what's happening in the Middle East. You can see what's happening with China and Russia. You can see what's happening in our own hemisphere. Cut 12, John Kirby, go.
I think, first of all, calling this an alliance is a bit of a stretch. I've referred to it as a marriage of convenience.
It's not an alliance. It's a marriage of convenience. What an idiot. Go ahead.
Of affection. President Xi sees in President Putin a useful foil and a counterweight to American influence, particularly in Europe. President Putin sees in President Xi perhaps a bankroll and an opportunity to get more assistance so that he can continue to prop up his economy and to fight this war. They're working together because they believe that they need each other for very discreet, not necessarily completely.
Were you sitting on in the meeting, you moron? This guy's a propagandist. That's all he is. They were meeting because of this, and this is what they discussed, and this is how they did it. It's very discreet. But they've built an alliance. And they've built an alliance with Iran, and they've built an alliance with North Korea. They just turned the Middle East inside out. In the last 2 weeks, they've turned the Middle East inside out. And this guy's going on like this. It's unbelievable. The Iranians are arming the Russians with drones, the technology they stole from us. One of our drones crashed during the Obama administration. Reminds me of the communist Chinese learned how to MIRV missiles after a few of our contractors at the direction of Bill Clinton went over there to show them how to launch the damn things. Go ahead.
Goals. We're not looking here for a world divided by blocks, but I think one thing you need to consider as you consider this.
All right, I've had enough. I'm getting a headache from this guy. He's an admiral. Guy's never seen combat that I know of. He's always been a communications guy. He's an admiral. Well, you know what? I'm an admiral too. What do you think of that? I'm the director of DEI. I'm an admiral. I'm a senior judicial analyst. I'm all those things. And you can talk to me next hour. Questions for Mark. I've never done this before, I don't think, Mr. Producer. And also Lee Zeldin. We want to get into this Alvin Bragg stuff with the almost governor.
Remember our number, 877-381-3811. I look forward to this. I'll be right back.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here for All Powerful Hour 3. Our number is 877-381-3811. Give it a call. As soon as I take a caller, this is Ask Mark. This is kind of what lame stations do. We don't have any lame stations, of course. They'd never do this. To fill time, I'm doing it to have fun with you. So let's begin with Ask Mark. Let's go to Alan, Nashville, Tennessee, on the Mark Levin app. Alan, how are you, my friend?
Admiral Levin. The Marxists are here.
Yeah, you're right.
They've infiltrated our companies, our schools, and our good news. Good news, Admiral. Anything but a Democrat. So
I think the communist Chinese are working on your cell phone there, brother. You're coming in and out. I can't hear you. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. You sound a little bit like you're in a heart and lung machine. That's what they're making it sound like.
Anything
all right. I'm sorry. I can't hear you very well, Alan, but thank you for giving it a shot. Let's keep going. Frank, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, home of Mark Levin originally, the great WPHT. Frank, how are you, sir?
I could be better, but I'm happy talking to you, sir.
Thank you, Frank.
Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay, all right. I just want to make a few points. I hope I can get through. My point is, We're not understanding that we have to learn from history. In the beginning of the Second World War, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but in the Second World War, you know, we propped up Japan before the war. We sent over millions of tons of steel and all the rest of that, and they paid us back by attacking Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. If they had logistically were able to do it, they would have attacked the United States. Now, a quick point is, we launched a Doolittle raid to Tokyo. That's my right. Point is this. Instead of the Doolittle raid attacking Tokyo, we're supposed to be not aggressive people like this, but this would have benefited the whole world. We should have attacked Hirohito's palace, bombed it into rubble, and the entire Japanese effort would have ceased at that point. The emperor.
Well, you might remember they had great difficulty. They had to do it very, very quickly. They took all the weight they possibly could off these bombers that flew off the decks of these carriers. They couldn't get deep into Japan, deep into Tokyo. I don't know if they would have hit the palace. So I think they did the right thing, as they hit the munition areas and they hit some of the city areas to draw the attention. And the whole goal, as you know, was to make them aware that we could hit them.
Well, that's true, sir. But if they had hit the palace and eliminated the royal...
But what's the point? What's the point? This happened forever ago. They didn't. That's what they did. Now, what do we learn from this?
Millions of lives would have been saved. The South Pacific War would have not happened. All right? So now...
That's not true. That's not true at all. Tojo was a fanatic. They were not going to not hit spread war throughout the South Pacific. If we hit the emperor's house, I don't know where you draw that conclusion from.
Well, the emperor was considered God on earth,
a godlike figure. So what? Fact,
yes.
That could have infuriated them more, for all we know.
No, they would have lost face, sir.
I don't even understand why we're discussing this. So what does this have to do with today?
Because we're destined to repeat that. We are not...
To repeat what?
What happened? If we don't...
No, what is it that you want us to do or not do is what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, we can't do anything with the present administration.
Okay, I got that. But what is it that you want us to do or not do if Frank was in charge?
I'm just going to say this, sir. I'm running into a wall here. What I'm saying is that if we don't act, they will act, and they will destroy most of the United States. And
I don't disagree with you. I'm just not buying your parallel there. I don't think it works. All right, Frank, thank you for your call, though. I appreciate it. Another happy caller, I'm sure, Mr. Producer. Let us continue. Let's go to True, Washington, D.C., the great WMAL. How are you?
Mark, how you doing?
All right.
Great to talk to you. Listen, you watch all your shows and everything. So before I get
Thank
to my
you,
question,
sir.
Which
yes.
is what this hour is all about, to make a little statement.
Yes, yes, there's the hair is real. I know you wanted to ask me. Yes, it's my hair.
The real question here is, this all started 12 years ago with one gentleman. That
By the way, can
elected.
You stop one second? You sound like you're from Philadelphia. Are you? Where are you? Or Maryland? Where are you from?
I'm from Maryland. From
Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right,
Baltimore.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, okay. So this whole thing started, Mark, 12 years ago when a guy by the name of Barack Obama was elected. And he went in that office and he decided he was going to start spying on Americans and changing things around and creating woke and creating racism and creating all these things that are happening now in this country that are getting worse and worse every day. The problem is...
I agree with you 100%, and all his holdovers are populated throughout the Biden administration.
That's correct. And what's happened, though, is that what did he have? He had the puppet, the idiot, the plagiarizer, the guy that doesn't know anything, the guy that couldn't run a business, couldn't go to McDonald's and run that. He had a guy watching everything. And that guy is the mob family, Joe Biden, who runs this country the way he runs it. And what that guy did was watched him for 8 years. And so nobody paid attention, but 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when he was running for president, and he sat out there and he said, hey, I'm going to stop gas and oil. Hey, I'm going to make minorities for better than the majority. Hey, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. He did it all. And that's what he's been doing, because he watched Barack Obama, but he said to himself, you know what? I'm not a black American. I'm a white guy that gets away with whatever what I want. So I'm going to do it right in front of your face. I'm going to put it in front of whole Americans. Now I'm going to do what I want to do and how I want to do it, and I'll make sure the Democrats push it, because they're three times tougher than Republicans. At the end of the day, this guy's been pushing his agenda, which is now put in position with this border right now, and all these people coming across, not only just Latinos and everybody coming across, and MS-13 and gangbangers. It's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, 7 years. Can you hear me, Mark?
Yeah, no, I can.
Sorry. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
so what's
going to
happen
good.
Here is what's happening with this border and coming across is now we're seeing 10, 11, and 12-year-olds killing themselves in the cities. These guys coming across the border, they're not going anywhere but Democrat cities, New York,
All
Chicago.
Right, my brother. I've got to take some more. Thank you for your call. Much appreciated. Let us go to Tony, Clifton, New Jersey. How are you?
Hello, Mark. Thank you for taking my call tonight.
Of course.
So my question for you, and then I have a 2-minute answer, and I'm sure you'll outdo me, but why don't people watch the Judiciary Committee hearings? This week I spent some time watching them. And what's apparent is that in our government, as you often say, we have people who are on these committees who are not only members of the People's Republic of Biden, but they're actually very absent in any knowledge of things like computers, and other things that you need knowledge of to be on a committee. So I watched the weaponization of the federal agencies, which was stunning. Jim Jordan did a great job. So my question to you is, why don't people watch these hearings? You will
learn because most of them are working. To be perfectly honest with you, somebody has to pay taxes in this country. And but those who can watch absolutely should watch. I agree with you, Tony. And thank you for your call. Let's take one last one before we go to the break and get Lee Zeldin on the program to talk to us about what's going on with this
so-called prosecutor in Manhattan and other issues. Pamela, in California, the Mark Levin app. Pamela, how are you? Pamela? Pamela?
Yes,
left.
You are wonderful.
Oh, there you are. How are you, Pamela?
You are wonderful, Mr. Levin. I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, I need it.
And also, I thought, I don't think it's too late, but I was really hoping when Rush passed that you would include him in your list Friday nights.
Well, I just include my family. I can't. There's a lot of friends, wonderful, wonderful friends have passed. So I can't start the goodbye, 5 minutes before the end of the show. You understand. But I always talk about Rush. All right, my friend, we'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
It's a pleasure to have our friend Lee Zeldin on. Lee, how are you, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you. I wanted to ask you a few questions here because it's been a while. Number one, boy, elections make a difference. You said if you got elected, you would fire Alvin Bragg. Did you not say that?
I did. And the first thing I would have done immediately after taking the oath, my first words, first action, would have been turning to Alvin Bragg to let him know that he's being fired for his refusal to enforce the law. I mean, the guy came in day one. He puts out a day one memo saying that all different kinds of crimes he was just not going to enforce at all sorts of other crimes he was going to treat as lesser included offenses. He had all sorts of individual cases that popped up that highlighted how he was the wrong guy for the job, viewing DA as a defense attorney, not a district attorney. So for many different reasons, because he just refused to do his job, that would have been my first act as governor.
And then you see what he's been doing the last several weeks. Does that kind of vindicate further your position?
This is a political prosecution. This is an investigation that reeks of being political and partisan. I mean, he campaigned on taking down the president of the United States. The former president here inherits a case that the FEC has jurisdiction, the Federal Elections Commission, the Department of Justice, his predecessor, Cy Vance, and all sorts of people over the years decided that there was no case here to go after. And here he is deciding that he wants to embarrass the former president, wants to bring him up on these charges. And for those who are out there who understand the law, they've heard of the term statute of limitations before. You're taking a case that is known to be a misdemeanor. You're trying to elevate it to a felony somehow. And there's a lot of people who might not even like Donald Trump. There might be people out there who just consider themselves to be legal scholars and they try to follow the book, saying that this is wrong on so many different levels as they look at his past record, Bragg's past record. They look at all of the other entities and individuals who passed up prosecuting this case. They look at the statute of limitations and they know that this just reeks of being a partisan political act that was really based in trying to fulfill a campaign promise to an unhinged electorate, the Democratic Party primary base in New York County in Manhattan. These Democrats are not going to be satisfied ever. You can impeach Trump 10 times. You can prosecute him. They're going to want to see him prosecuted again. You can't make them happy, but he's going to try because he's going to have his own political future and goals. And maybe he thinks it helps him with the Democratic base of New York City.
What do you make of Al Sharpton implying that Donald Trump's made anti-Semitic comments? I mean, isn't this really laughable coming from this man?
So I have been around Donald Trump so many times and had so many conversations and witnessed so many acts and seen how personal he is with his own family that he is someone who is always looking for opportunities to try to strengthen his relationship with the Jewish community, to strengthen the U.S.-Israel relationship. He signed an executive order to combat anti-Semitism. It's in his own family with his daughter and son-in-law and others. It's as personal as it gets. For Sharpton, he should be recognizing the facts here and just treating this as it should, because quite frankly, there's a whole lot that stinks around him of people who have been blatantly anti-Semitic. Look at those around him who get tied up in the Women's March of Manhattan, not the one that combats anti-Semitism, but the competitive Women's March that was created, where it was hosted by blatant anti-Semites. Where is the outrage when that happens? The hypocrisy, the double standard, the stink means that you really have no business going after a guy who has shown in so many different ways how serious he is in wanting to find new ways to strengthen that relationship with the Jewish community.
Let me ask you about Andrew Cuomo. Since the election's over, have you had any interaction with him?
I have not had any interaction with Andrew Cuomo since he's left as governor. And I know that, and it's pretty obvious that he feels like it was a premature exit. For a whole lot of other New Yorkers, they feel like he stayed there too long. There's a big push in Albany to change the name of the Tappan Zee Bridge back to Tappan Zee Bridge. He renamed it after his father, and he did it in a way where he was jamming up all sorts of other state legislators, even people of his own party upset at him with the tactics, the way he did it. And of course, everything that happened with COVID, restrictions on freedoms, decisions that ended up, quite frankly, leading to a lot of deaths, as we saw inside of the nursing homes, and then profiting off of it with a multi-million-dollar book deal. What we have seen, a trend that has only continued of Andrew Cuomo's unpopularity only growing worse and worse and worse as time has gone on. He is not any more popular today than he was when he left, and there's no stronger appetite for him to come back today than when he left that position.
And you had been preparing to run against him before he resigned in disgrace, no?
When I announced for governor, Andrew Cuomo was the governor, and he was running for a fourth term. We were ready to take him out. He had overstayed his welcome. And quite frankly, he got replaced by somebody who was even worse than he was. Now, at least Andrew Cuomo would show successfully at times an ability to push back against the far left of his party. Sometimes he went along with it. Sometimes he was unsuccessful in pushing back. I get that. But Kathy Hochul, she has been rolled in so many different ways. And now I woke up reading a story today about how they are on the verge in the coming days and finalizing next year's state budget that they are going to be banning gas appliances inside of new construction. It's unbelievable. And they're proposing one new tax after another. Those stories coming out every single day. People have had enough. It's getting worse before it gets better. And a lot of people are fleeing to states like Florida.
Lee, can I hold you over the break, please?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking to Lee Zeldin. Really would have been a fantastic governor. Certainly would have been far better than the prior governors. And we'll be right back.
You know, I recently learned about Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants. They have everything you could want, fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and much more. My wife and I take pride in our home, and that includes having a landscape that brings us serenity. And you too can find the perfect fit for your home based on your climate and space. Visit fastgrowingtrees.com, use code LEVIN, L-E-V-I-N, at checkout, get an additional 15% off your first purchase from their already very low prices. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And they offer a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee with free plant consultation forever. Right now, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And again, my listeners get an additional 15% off on their first purchase when using the code LEVIN at checkout. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code L-E-V-I-N. Now, the offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Please visit fastgrowingtrees.com for details. The best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier uses Oxy technology that helps quickly destroy many viruses, odors, mold, and more. How do I know? I have it right here on my desk. People all over the nation are raving over how well the Thunderstorm helps freshen their homes. Musty, mildew smells just vanish after just a few seconds with the Thunderstorm being on. With thousands of five-star reviews, you know it works. Any odor will disappear when you use the Thunderstorm. Odors from litter boxes, trash cans, cigarette smoke, dirty diapers, and more are no match. And best of all, no filters to buy. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. You'll get three units for under $200. That's a fraction of the cost compared to other air purifiers that can go for over $600. And with this special offer, you're getting three units for under $200. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Put in discount code MARK3. That's MARK3 to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code MARK3.
We are here with our friend Lee Zeldin, who came within an eyelash being governor of New York. And Lee Zeldin, I want to ask you a question. I'm not asking you who you're endorsing, but you're friends with Ron DeSantis. You're friends with Donald Trump. Maybe you're friends with other potential candidates. How do you think things are going right now?
The trend over the course of the last couple of months, especially over the course of the last week or two, has certainly been in Donald Trump's favor. I think there's been a strong backlash to Bragg's targeting of Donald Trump. I think that the Republican primary base is thirsty for more talk of policy substance issues, to talk about the plan of how to defeat the Democrats in 2024. On how to save America. I think that there's a lot of Republican primary voters who aren't thrilled watching the negative attacks that fly around here. And a lot of people are realizing that there might be a heck of a lot more of that as we go further along in the primary. And I get that. I mean, it's high stakes. You're running for president of the United States. There's going to be attacks that fly around. But what you can't lose sight of is that if you aren't talking about the issues, the substance, your vision to save this country, don't expect your followers to be doing it for you. For President Trump, he has a lot of successes from his time as president to tout. If he doesn't tout it, can't expect his followers to do it for him. Ron DeSantis, he has a lot of successes of his time as governor of Florida. I happen to be in Florida right now, and by the way, I was just with a couple people who are looking forward to seeing you in a couple days tomorrow at an event.
Well, thank you.
I have experienced this quite often, getting to witness it in person. The loyalty that so many people have out there who are listening to you right now, because you speak truth, and people need more of that. And unfortunately, too many media sources you go to, and it's like they're dumbing down their audience as opposed to talking facts and truth. And people want to see that too, especially with candidates running for president of the United States. Ron DeSantis is traveling the country. He's giving speeches talking about his blueprint in Florida. And I could say, as a New Yorker, that I have witnessed a whole lot of people fleeing the state every single day, heading to places like Florida, Texas, Tennessee, the Carolinas, because they want their money to go further, to feel safer, and to live life freer. Earlier today, I drove past a Penske moving truck, and my first thought is, there's no way that this truck is heading its way up to New York. These are one-way trips down to places like Florida. With this presidential race, we have every opportunity to elect a Republican, a conservative president, November of 2024, to save this country. We cannot lose our sight, eyes on the prize. The nicknames aren't what should be getting us over the top. It's the policy positions. It's the ideas, the contrast with the Democrats destroying this country.
Man, oh, Manischewitz, that's 100% right. And
I was discussing this several times, and I discussed it last night, Lee, and I also said we have several candidates, two right at the top there right now, Trump and DeSantis, who would be fantastic presidents, but we are going to lose if we don't run on the issues, if we don't run on issues that are relevant to the American people, and if the name-calling continues. It just turns people off in the general election. Whether people like it or not, that's just what it does, right?
No doubt. And I saw during our race for governor last year, and I got more votes than any Republican statewide in New York in 52 years. We won the vote of longtime Democrat constituencies. We won inside of the city of New York, the Asian American vote, the Dominican vote, the Orthodox Jewish vote, and more. Why? Because we were showing up, talking to them. First off, showing up is quite the change. They hadn't seen Republicans in a long time. And when we showed up, we talked to them about the issues that matter most to them. We need to make the streets where you live safer. Here is how we do that. We were talking about upward economic mobility, combating homelessness and mental health, to be able to improve the quality of their kids' education. And that is what they are thirsty for. These are Democrat voters unhappy with Democratic policies, very displeased with the Democratic Party, but they're continuing to vote Democrat. Republicans might make a really bad assumption and say, well, they're just going to come around. No, they're not, because they believe that the Democratic Party is the devil you know being better than the devil you don't. And the only way for Republicans to combat it is to show up exactly where your high-paid political consultants are telling you not to, because that's probably an area where Republicans haven't been in a long time, and you might be surprised that Democrats are waiting there with open arms. Independent voters, Democratic voters, people who are waiting in this general election, understanding that this country is heading in the wrong direction, they want strong leadership. They have so many priorities that transcend blind partisan politics. But what you have to do is work hard for their vote, take nothing for granted, all in, and then you get rewarded with a new relationship that maybe might turn into something more with a community that's been voting Democrat forever.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of Biden and the fact that this family of his is so damn corrupt? I mean, there's emails, there's texts, you got a whole laptop, things keep coming out every day. There's even more today that I haven't even gotten to yet. And the Department of Justice doesn't even appoint a special counsel to investigate the sitting president of the United States, which is the purpose of the special counsel regulation.
Etched in stone outside the Department of Justice, it says, when law ends, tyranny begins. And there are unequal scales of justice. There are different sets of rules in the administration of justice based off of your last name, your political calculations, connections, and the influence that you have. Here, the Biden Justice Department is refusing to go after the Biden family for what is clear as day, a conflict of interest. No one's going to be able to convince me that Hunter Biden is, in fact, a great energy expert in Ukraine, a great financier to be working with the Chinese, and one of the greatest painters of the modern era. It's all just new ways to be able to funnel money to their family. And they were all capitalizing on Vice President Joe Biden, who was using his office, his travels, his official position to be able to give this access. They were cashing in on that access for themselves. Kudos to the House Republicans, the new majority that, thank God, has taken over these gavels. Because you know, sure as heck, Jerry Nadler and the House Judiciary Committee wasn't going to do anything of what Jim Jordan's willing to do to get to the bottom of it. Carolyn Maloney, as the chair of the House Oversight Committee, didn't want to touch it. But give James Comer an opportunity, and the subpoenas are ready to be flying wherever needed. They need to continue down this fight. Don't be intimidated by people saying, well, no, this is just a distraction. It's not right. No, listen, they understand that this is about oversight. It's a function of Congress. It's one of the reasons why you exist, especially if the executive branch isn't going to do what it needs to do with their powers. Congress, checks and balance, do what they need to do with oversight and make people believe in the system again.
Any thoughts of potentially running for future office?
I believe that there is a reentry to government in the future. Right now, my daughters are in 11th grade. They're 18 months out from college. I got to tell you, it's a silver lining. I'm enjoying being with my family. I am staying active, doing speeches, media interviews. I created a political action committee a couple weeks ago just to find new ways to help grow the Republican Party, just do our part. We'll see what the future holds. I want to continue to stay engaged. I love our country. I'm finishing my 20th year in the Army in 2 months here at the end of May. I'm going to continue to serve once I pass that mark. And I just believe that we all need to define success, at least in part. For me, it's more than just a small part, but we all need to, at least in part, define success as leaving this world better than we found it. And we can't just allow the bad people to get their hands on power and do the wrong thing with it. It's about the rest of us ensuring that we are in charge of our government as opposed to the government being in charge of us. We should have term limits enacted. We should have people who are in office who are accountable to us. And when they aren't, throw their asses out, whether they're in a Republican district or Democratic district, conservative, moderate, liberal. It doesn't matter. Everyone is accountable to the people. Especially they need that reminder when they lose that focus and that touch on who they're elected to represent.
Lee, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for running. Thank you for being the man you are and your friendship. And God bless you, my brother.
It's great to be with you. Take care.
You take care of yourself. Lee Zeldin, terrific man. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Let's go to, Joel, South Bend, Michigan, on the Mark Levin app. How are you, Joel?
Mark, I'm a month older than you. 1957 was a vintage year, and I've always wondered how in the heck, when I was starting college chasing women, you were working for the Reagan administration. How did you do that? That's always bothered me.
Well, I skipped 12th grade. That helped. And then I graduated college in 3 years.
Help. Okay.
That helped. And I wasn't chasing women. I was chasing books, believe it or not. But I'm certainly married to a wonderful woman who I did chase, by the way. Does that answer your question, Joel?
Impressive, I'll tell you. I've always thought about it. And how you did that, it's just like, God, I don't know. Wish I would have taken your life path a little bit more.
Well, no, I'm sure you've done just fine. And there's nothing you can do about the past anyway. It's the future, baby. All right, Joel, thank you for your call, man. Chris a trucker buddy of ours in Kentucky XM Satellite. Chris, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, long-time listener, big fan, long-time trucker, too.
Thank you, thank you.
I've always had a question I wanted to ask somebody influential. You've got influential friends and stuff. Have you ever thought about putting together a lawsuit on the progressive tax code under the equal, you know, the...
Here's the problem. You'd be right about that, but they passed a constitutional amendment making the income tax, the progressive income tax, the law of the land. So no lawsuit under the Equal Protection Clause is going to be able to defeat another amendment to the Constitution, if you understand what I'm saying. By the way, Chris, what kind of stuff do you truck? Tell me quickly.
Garage doors back and forth to Florida.
All right, buddy. We love you truckers. Thanks for everything you do, Chris. Take care of yourself. All you guys and gals who drive trucks, thank you. You make this country work. All right, every Friday in your honor, America. Here we go. The week is officially over. The weekend begins right now. Please set your DVRs. 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Life, Liberty, and Levin. If you can't watch it live, it's going to be a very, very... It may be the most important show I've ever done. Seriously. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our truckers, the freedom fighters in Taiwan and Ukraine. Good night, Spritey and Griffey. Good night, Pepsi and Zelda. Good night, Smokey and Gigi. Good night, Indy and Patton. And good night, Rory, Barney, and Marty. Good night, Dad. Good night, Mom. Good night, Leo. Good night, Joe. And America, good night to you, and God bless each and every one of you. I'll see you Sunday.